Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in. Clay Travis here. I'm hanging out with my guy, Buck Sexton, and we are finishing off the final hour of the week. I hope you have hung out with us on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and that we are sending you in to an awesome weekend wherever you may be across this great country or maybe around the world. You might be listening to us many different places. Search out my name, Clay Travis. You can search out Buck Sexton's name. You can find us on social media. You certainly can go subscribe to this podcast. Hour number two, we talked with Congressman Jim Jordan of the great state of Ohio. He was fantastic, as he often is. As we roll into the weekend, there are a couple of stories that are getting an awful lot of attention. One, the Olympics, the opening ceremonies happened early this morning. Some of you may have watched some of those ceremonies. The Olympics are officially underway in Japan. And the Cleveland Indians have changed their nickname. This is not an Onion article or a Babylon Bee article, to the Cleveland Guardians. But Buck, I saw something you tweeted earlier this week that I was really entertained by. The U.S. women's soccer team, which, by the way, in like 2015 when they won the Women's World Cup, I was in Vancouver. I took my family. They were as beloved of an American sports team as there could be. Everybody loved the U.S. women. Over the last several years, their overall approval rate, I think it's fair to say, in the United States of America has plummeted substantially. They lost 3-0 to Sweden after kneeling yet again. And you said, Buck Sexton, you were rooting for Sweden. You have abandoned the U.S. women, in almost based entirely on politics, I'm presuming, and you actually enjoy seeing them lose the women's soccer team.
Absolutely. Go Sweden. Fantastic to see those ladies. I got to say, not a hard team to root for as a guy.
They're good looking women on the Swedish team. You might have noticed.
I can neither confirm nor deny, but I'm just saying.
I think it's offensive to judge women by their looks now, Buck. How sexist of you to even notice a good looking woman.
I was pretty astounded that even in this current era, you know, Boris Becker, who was one of the tennis greats, and I did watch a fair amount of tennis growing up. You know, he referred to a player's girlfriend at Wimbledon, a fiance, as pretty, and there were people who were upset by this.
Yes.
Yeah. This is utter madness. You know,
this happened a few years ago. Brent Musburger, one of the Alabama quarterback's girlfriends, was in the crowd, and he said something like, "Man, you quarterbacks, you all get the best looking girl. She's a good looking woman." And by the way, quarterbacks do tend to do pretty well with girls based on, you know, all of recorded history of sports. I actually remember, Buck, when I was a kid, I remember going, we got to sit down close for an Atlanta Braves game, I think it was. And I was probably like 10 or 11, and I looked around. There were a ton of really good-looking women. And I said to my dad, "Why are there so many, you know, like really pretty women here?" And he said, "Well, this is a lot of the players' wives." And I remember saying like, "Oh, so baseball players in the major leagues, they have good-looking wives?" And my dad was like, "Yeah, they do pretty well for themselves."
Yes,
this is also kind of funny.
This is also known as observing objective reality around
yes,
you. But
yes,
you're not allowed to do this anymore. And I'd also note that our friend Jesse Kelly, who's also on our network, he put out, did you see his list of the 10 most attractive members of Congress?
Oh God, did he get crushed for that?
Gosh. I mean, it's just so funny.
When did that happen?
That was yesterday.
Oh,
he put
that's
out
funny.
A list. It may have been, and I'm quoting here, the 10 hottest women in Congress. I can't remember exactly the verbiage, but it was basically an attractive members of Congress.
He should have put like two dudes in there and just blown everybody's mind, especially if he had a guy as the hottest member of Congress. So people were terrified. How dare he notice good-looking women?
I just thought you were allowed to say nice things, you know? Like
right.
when people
wasn't
come
the
up
10
to me,
ugliest women.
You know, we got two radio hosts here with good hair, you know?
Yeah.
And so when people come up to the street, they're like, "Hey, I like your radio show, but you've actually got good hair." That makes my day, probably my week, you know? I'm sure people say, "Wait." If people come up to you, they're like, "Hey, you're a sports radio host, but, you know, you're an athletic-looking guy, and, you know, you got a lovely wife, and we like nice things." Anyway, this is, I'm trying to tell everybody, can we all just take a compliment and roll with it? But we can't even agree on mascots, Clay. That's another thing, too.
Well, we're going to get the mascots, but what percentage of people do you think are rooting against the U.S. women's soccer team because they find them to be, and let me say this, by the way, big picture. What is so frustrating to me about the U.S. women's soccer team is they had an opportunity to use their platform in 2015 and in 2019 to point out that the reason they dominate, Buck, do you know if you look at every women's soccer match and just consider which country has freer women, you can basically pick the winner of the match. Because people say, well, how come the U.S. men are nowhere near as good as the U.S. women? That's because around the world, most good male athletes get identified and they're able to expend their athleticism to the fullest of their ability because men have advantages. But, you know, it's not a surprise that our women would do better than women in, let's say, Iran, where they're not even allowed to play outside of burqas, right?
Yeah.
Basically, like, this is not a big surprise that girls who can wear shorts, it's kind of a decent symbol that they might be better. Instead, they ripped America instead of trying to lift up the world to believe in American ideas.
If you take a knee, I'm rooting against you. And that's basically, that's really what it comes out. I'm rooting against you. That's just how it's going to go from here on out. And whether that's as a league or as a team or as an individual, because I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. And it's disrespectful. So yeah, I was psyched to see the Swedish ladies, doing well. And you know, I mean, maybe they should follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Maybe they should become fans of the show. I'm just putting it out there.
We're big in Sweden.
Huge in Sweden.
And so you got that insanity that's going on. So do you think, we were talking about this, I'm not sure that there has ever been less interest in an Olympics. Because usually the Olympics is kind of a big deal. People come together. They want, especially the Summer Olympics, because there have been so many big, iconic stars. I feel like this is landing on deaf ears to a large extent.
Well,
do you have that sense, too?
Yeah, and when you've got empty stadiums, I mean, a part of this, you know, we hearken back in our minds here all the way to, you know, ancient Rome and the Colosseum and this, the theatricality of these events at the Olympics. Obviously, ancient Greece where the Olympics started, but I just mean, I was thinking gladiator in my mind. You know, you think of these events that happen with massive crowds and the energy. And, you know, honestly, watching really fast people run when there's no crowd there, it's just a different spectator experience. It just doesn't feel like it has the same energy behind it. And you know, this is, I think there's also just a lot of people right now feel like, you know, is there the possibility that their weird COVID restrictions could actually become a problem for some of these teams? But I'll be honest, I'm not really a big Olympics guy. It was just not a surprise to you, I'm sure. But I'm not a huge Olympic guy. I watched, like, the person who wins the fastest, you know, the 100-meter dash or whatever. That's what I watch.
Yeah, and even that, you know, Usain Bolt, who is Jamaican, he's retiring. Michael Phelps, who's one of the greatest Olympians ever, you know, people could have a rooting interest for him over the last, whatever it is, 20 years, it feels like, that he's been representing the United States. And then you toss in what I think is a pretty significant factor, the time difference of what time it is in Japan versus the United States. And I feel like these are going to be, this is my prediction. I think this is going to be the least watched Olympics that has ever existed in the United States. Because for so long, this was something that united everyone. I think there are a lot of people out there listening to us right now that are with you and not rooting for the U.S. women over politics and statements that they're making. But also, I think that there's just a general despair about the idea of how many women are going to and men are going to protest. And people are like, I just don't have time for it.
Do you know that the trampoline is an Olympic event? I was just checking this. I was wondering trampoline. I mean, water polo is, which I think watching water polo may be the most boring spectator sport. That's right, water polo fans. You can come at me. I'll take it. But looking at, because come on, you can't even see what's going on, right? You look at some of the, I'm looking at the list of all the different sports that they have. And
I have them by popularity. Let me see if I can get you to guess. What do you think the most anticipated event is at the Tokyo Olympics?
Basketball.
No.
Really?
Basketball is, this is the morning consult, a poll that they did of Americans. Most anticipated events at the Olympics. I'll give you the hint here. Basketball is sixth. Okay. Sixth on the sports
list. That's much lower than I thought it would have been. I mean, I love tennis, but that's probably not even the top 10.
Tennis is 10.
Okay. Well, see, I was pretty close.
Yeah.
I have, honestly, is it track and field?
Track and field is fourth.
What's number one? You're keeping me in suspense.
Number one, I think you'll get the when I say it, you'll be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Gymnastics, right? There is a massive, does that surprise you?
That does surprise me. I wouldn't think gymnastics be the number one.
Gymnastics destroys everything else. Second most beloved or anticipated event at the Tokyo Olympics, swimming. Which surprised me a little bit. I would have gotten gymnastics. I wouldn't have gotten
swimming.
These
are for Americans, right? I think we've gotten used to, because Michael Phelps is just in this other category of winner, that I think that's what's made swimming so popular for us, because we just love those medals. We're Americans. We like winning.
This surprised me, too. Third most popular, diving, which feels like it's kind of swimming, but it is kind of cool to watch from those super high dives, like how perfect people land in the water. And also the fact that you convince yourself that you know, like, what a good dive is and what a dive is not.
I see. That's interesting to me, because these are also events where it's, you know, the fastest runner is not a, there's not a judge decide, like, that this is just reality.
Yes.
So these are things where the judges are making determinations about who, it's subjective. Let's be honest. Those are, you know, gymnastics is a subjective event. Diving is a subjective event. That's interesting to me.
Track and field, which you got, is four. This one also surprised me. Basketball, you got at six. Beach volleyball.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of good-looking girls. I think that probably factors in.
We don't have
in.
To say these things out loud, buddy.
I'd say it out loud. No, I say it out loud. Dude, I tell
like,
people
yeah,
exactly
beach volleyball.
What's going.
Maybe I appreciate
men
the spike.
Men play beach volleyball, too.
Yeah, well, that's, yes. By the way, do we have ratings on which one is more watched?
Oh, I bet women's beach volleyball is way more watched than men's. But here's the question. Too. As we get ready to go to break, I'll come back. What are the least popular sports, according to Americans, that they are least interested in? I doubt very many people will guess these, but I will tell you the sports that Americans are not interested in watching. I gave you the top five or six.
I think my beloved table tennis, also known as ping pong, is probably on that list. Because I am, for an amateur, freakishly good at ping pong. And it makes me very sad that that's one that doesn't get the proper love in this country that I think.
Should we bring in the crew and let them guess? Ali is texting me right now.
Oh yeah, no, I'd love to hear from our team here, from the EIB squad.
Yes, let's bring in the EIB squad, and we will see if any of them can get one of the three least popular sports at the Olympics.
And let's also bring in all of you, our EIB fam all across the country. 800-282-2882, the lines. It's Open Line Friday. We'll get to it. If you choose to believe Google, then all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on incognito mode in your browser. But you don't trust Google because you listen to this show and you know that big tech is not your friend. So it doesn't matter what browser you use or how often you clear your browser history. Your internet service provider, that's your ISP, can see every single website you've ever visited, and they sell your data to advertisers. That's why I use ExpressVPN to keep my online data secure and private. A VPN is a virtual private network. ExpressVPN is the best in the business. They make sure your ISP and third-party trackers can't see your online activity and location. It does that by rerouting your connection, Clay, through a secure encrypted server.
I didn't know if you were going to make it through there. You're playing hurt on the read. I got to tell you, as we roll on, you need to protect your online activity today with the VPN I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Clay and Buck to learn more.
Great to have you here with us on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. Clay and I are getting into the Olympic situation here, and we've got our EIB team that is telling us what is the least watched of the Olympic sports, the least popular, at least by viewership. Producers Ali, Greg, Mojo, Crash, all Dub, all weighing in. Ali says fencing, Greg says skateboarding, Mojo says speed walking, Dub says handball. I guess it all depends on the shorts. Crash says, do you see that? There was a controversy because they wouldn't wear, some of the ladies wouldn't wear the...
I did see that, which is kind of crazy.
And Crash says the marathon because it's exhausting. I think the marathon's actually fun to watch. You just got to watch the very end of it, though. But in person, I've never watched it on TV, to be fair.
So here are the... So was it Allie who said fencing?
Yes.
That is the fifth least popular, according to Americans, sport that is out there. Here are the... And by the way, your water polo is the sixth least popular sport.
Counting down...
Handball, Dub, I think, said handball. It is the third least popular. Sorry, fourth least popular here. Modern pentathlon. I'm not even sure exactly what is in the pentathlon.
Is that like you swim, you ski, you shoot? Isn't that like all the different things?
I don't even know. I don't know what is a modern. I don't know what they do. That sounds accurate. I think there's five, right? Pentathlon.
You're the sports guy.
I don't know the pentathlon.
Clay Travis has to know everything about sports.
I think it's the five events. I don't know what the five events would be in the pentathlon. Field hockey. Do men play? I don't think men play field hockey.
Men,
is that girls
men
only?
Men play field hockey, sir.
Really?
It's big in South Asia. Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pakistan, I know girls India, they play it. Yeah,
I know girls play in America, but we don't play field hockey in America, do we? Men?
I mean, that all depends.
Women are, I know it's a big sport for women, especially on the East Coast, but I don't remember there being men who play field hockey. I always thought that I don't know. I don't think we do. And then the least popular, it's kind of surprised me, the rugby sevens. Is the least popular American Olympic sport, according to these are the most anticipated. Maybe there's some that are not included here, but those are the least anticipated events in this graphic that I am looking at.
I'm surprised, but I've never been a rugby watcher in general. Is rugby sevens, is that a specific kind of rugby? Is it like 7-on-7?
I'm assuming it's 7-on-7, but I don't know. I don't even know how many people are usually on a rugby. Dub says 7-man rugby. By the way, the pentathlon, Dub, Buck, is fencing, swimming, equestrian, pistol shooting, and running. That's a pretty crazy collection of events.
I was not that far off. So that's close. I will
pistol shooting. I didn't know that. I mean, that's kind of wild.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a part of it. I'd also say that whenever you watch, if you like me, if you grew up watching karate movies, and then you actually see the Olympic
sport.
And
by karate movies, you mean Karate Kid.
Well, no. Are you kidding me?
Like
I celebrate
Bruce Lee
Jean-Claude Van Damme's whole catalog, buddy.
Okay,
we can have
right,
a whole martial
right.
arts conversation here. But yeah, the karate you see in the Olympics is not as cool, unfortunately.
Rugby usually has, by the way, 15 people on it. Now, these are the seven, so less than half. I got to tell you, born from the tragedy of 9/11, Tunnel of the Towers carries forward a legacy of courage and heroism to mark 20 years. Tunnel of the Towers gifting America's heroes and their families 200 mortgage-free homes. They want you to never forget and make sure that you do good and take action now. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. They are going to have a fantastic honoring of the 20-year moment there. Frank Siller walking more than 500 miles through 6 states in 42 days from the Pentagon to Shanksville, ending at ground zero on 9/11. Again, donate $11 a month at T2T.org.
This is James Golden, host of the podcast series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. The next episode in our series is out. Make sure to listen wherever you get your podcast. We're sharing so many behind-the-scenes stories, remembering the man we love. MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation are both sponsors. Tunnel to Towers Foundation and MyPillow are both sponsors.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are talking Olympics. We are talking mascots. Want to hear from you on, honestly, it's open on Friday, so whatever you want, but obviously these topics are front of mind for us right now. 800-282-2882. Going to be sending you off for a fabulous weekend. Remember to follow Clay on Twitter, at Clay Travis. Me on Facebook, facebook.com/Buck Sexton. And Clay, The Cleveland Indians are no more. Now they are the Cleveland Guardians, which I don't even know. Like, what is a, I know what the, what a guardian is, what it means, but how are you supposed to get excited? I guess it doesn't matter. They're just going to rebrand it. But, this one to me seems a little silly. There were some mascots that I thought should change then. I'll be honest with you. Very few, but a couple that were a little, ooh, I don't know about that.
What's funny to me is they just decided, hey, we're going to keep like most of the name because Indians, they just kept the D-I-A-N-S, right, and added guard, you know, in front of it so that it still kind of sounds the same. Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Guardians, like, okay, but it's just a really weird move. And by the way, you went to Amherst, which, by the way, big nerd there. But they have changed their mascot, right?
Oh, yeah. Like you guys- we went from the Lord Jeffrey Amherst, who is an actual, I mean, our mascot at games was a guy who was dressed like one of the bad guys from the movie The Patriot. You know, some British, he's got the wig on, he's got the breeches
really
and everything, and he would dance around and, you know, the whole thing. But there's this story, I think it's apocryphal, but there's a story that Lord Jeff Amherst, you know, it was tough. He had a lot of things going on, and he gave blankets to the natives, to a native tribe, and they think that the blankets, this is just a story. I don't even know how they would know. They didn't understand microbiology, but they say that they were, quote, smallpox blankets, end quote. And so this was considered the first usage of bioweapons on, this is actually what the activist said, bioweapons on U.S. soil. So now we're the mastodons. I'm sorry, the mammoths, another large furry elephant. We're the mammoths.
Like the woolly mammoths?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I actually think that's a better mascot. So the Indians have changed their name. I went to, for college, the George Washington Colonials. And of course, we were called the Colonials because it was the Colonial Army. And kids on my campus now are obsessed with changing Colonials because they think it's connected to colonizing. And it's like you have to talk to these kids. No. We were the colonies, and we fought for our independence. That's what the Colonial Army was doing. But they are so indoctrinated with the idea that colonizing is a bad thing that they want to change the name of the mascot, George Washington Colonials. Now, the thing about this is, I'm kind of with you. If you could put me and you and whoever else, like, we could sit across the table from the wokes and say, okay, let's just end the mascot controversy once and for all. You give us a list of names. We'll negotiate. We'll agree to change X number of names. And then we'll be done with this forever. But that's not how this works, because in order to be woke, you always have to find something new that's offensive, right?
It's like,
it doesn't end.
And this is what I say. I mean, even because what would be, people pose this to me. They say, what do you really think of the Redskins football team name? And, there are limits, right? But then I say, okay, well, what about the Vikings? They say, what do you mean? There's nothing offensive about the Vikings. Then I get to sit there and say, really? The great sea wolves of history with their rape and pillage and slavery, because that's what the Vikings actually did when they'd go out with those. People think of them like, oh, you know, they're kind of just going around on the long boats and they've got these cool swords. Yeah, there was a whole culture basically built on slavery, enslaving people, pillaging, looting. So I don't think that's, that's not a,
not only that, I mean, the one that gets talked about now is the Fighting Irish, right? Notre Dame is the Fighting Irish. And people are like, oh, that's offensive.
This is what's
you
so
just
funny.
Got Irish people.
As speaking from the Irish American community, speaking as a member of it, we are a sturdy and fearsome lot who find life to be funny in many ways and can take a joke as well as a shot of whatever you put in front of us. The Irish, I will say, on the other hand, a bunch of commies. It's unfortunate, but it's true. The actual Irish are super left-wing and very woke.
Well, and that's why some people say that Fighting Irish is going to one day give up the ghost. And there's probably people out there. Look, you have the Atlanta Braves, Chicago Blackhawks, Florida State Seminoles, the Kansas City Chiefs. They just move on, right? Yeah. Redskins is gone. Now Indians is gone.
But like a proper,
who's next on the chopping block?
A proper name of a tribe. And this has come up because there have been tribes, and I know people already know this, who say, no, we actually
Florida State is an example of that.
Well, but we've had tribes that come forward and say, when you're calling like one of the most fearsome pieces of rotary aircraft ever with the Apache,
yes.
When you're calling it that, like to honor our prowess as warriors, you're not degrading us or mocking us. So like, that's cool. Now, on the Apache one, by the way, that's actually not a specific example, but I'm using it as there have been other times where there have been tribes who have come forward, you know, and if, you know, it's, I don't know how the
Seminoles is an example. They are honored that Florida State, because they were a warring tribe that fought for itself in the state of Florida. They're like, hey, we consider it to be an honor that you call yourself the Seminoles. We want you to continue to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the Fighting Irish thing, yes, the guy's a leprechaun. No one's offended by leprechaons. No one actually gets
it. Well, that's dwarfs and you can't say midgets anymore. I just said it, but you're not supposed to say midget. I think you're supposed to say little people now, right? You can't say Eskimo. Do you know that? Like, that's a very fearsome word now.
No, I actually, there's a very important point on this one. You can say Eskimo, but it refers only to one of, I believe, five native tribes there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
yeah.
The native tribes don't like that all are referred to as Eskimo, because there's Eskimo, Inuit, and a bunch of other. I think Aleut is one of them, but don't quote me on that one. They're like the Aleutian Islands. I think there are a few different tribes. So Eskimo is not like a slur or anything. It's just used too broadly. This was explained to me by an Alaskan who, of course, what's the first question a New Yorker asks any Alaskan? Have you ever done the like dangerous catch fishing ship thing? And this guy.
It's
the deadliest catch. Yes. All right. We got everyone. We got folks who want to win. We're having too much fun and we got to bring everybody else in here for a second. I got to let Charles from North Carolina in here because he's got a bone to pick. What's up, Charles? Welcome.
Hey, guys. Hey, just want to let you know that in a few short weeks, you guys have made me a fan. So I'm enjoying the show quite a bit.
Thank you.
You got the good work. But I have to take issue with your disparaging comments about water polo, because any man or woman who plays water polo will take you out. Very strong, very athletic, very capable. I was a gymnast and a water polo athlete. And the water polo was much harder than the gymnastics was.
Yeah, I agree. I think Buck's in trouble. You're going to be walking down the street in New York out of nowhere. Door opens. Water polo players is going to flatten you.
Exactly. I was going to say, first of all, water polo ladies, I'm sure, are absolutely fantastic. And Charles, I wasn't saying that it's not a difficult sport or that it's not that you guys are hardcore. I rode crew in college, believe it or not, which is misery, but also very good for you. But watching it is not the most. I meant from a spectator perspective. I just feel like you can't see what's going on in a water polo. It's a lot of splashing. It looks like a lot of thrashing, like one of those, you know, aerobicized classes for some folks in the water. You know, that's what
that's
it looks
true.
Like.
I don't think you're helping yourself here. Now
I know,
you're comparing them to aerobics
on
instructors.
One. I'm drowning on the water polo.
Maybe next time you go swimming. I'm telling you, they're going to drag you to
Charles,
water.
If somehow I don't show up for the show one day and they find a yellow water polo ball next to my head on the street and I'm knocked out, we'll know what happened. But thank you for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Your boy Will Kane is a former water polo player, I believe, at Pepperdine. He's going to definitely take you out.
He's going to take it. Well, no, but see, does he agree with me that it's not a good spectator sport? You know, is it?
I don't know. It's a good question. Is it fun to watch on TV? Didn't we win like the gold medal in water polo because we brought over an Eastern European beast
guy
of a coach?
And you don't even know.
I don't know every Olympic team.
Listen to this. Next thing, people are going to find out that you actually played soccer too. You frisky fellow.
I did play.
He's a stealth soccer player.
I think we brought in an Eastern European, like, crazy man, water polo coach. Dub can look that up. I think he led us to, like, a gold medal. And he's the total, like, freakish dude.
We will continue our Friday, open line Friday, free-for-all here in just a second. 800-282-2882. You know what else is free-for-all? Government spending right now. It is out of control. The Biden administration is just saying, let's spend trillions of dollars. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, you're already seeing it. The dollars in your bank account become worth less money. Inflation is here, it is real, and it is going up. You know it, I know it. So what can we do to protect our savings and our retirement accounts? I'll tell you what I've done. I bought real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group. I have it right now in my desk at home. No, I'm not talking gold and silver stocks. I'm talking about real gold and silver you can actually hold in your hands. I buy my gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group because I trust them. Give them a call right now at 833-404-GOLD. They'll answer all your questions and send you their investment guide. That's 833-404-GOLD. Whether you're looking to have real gold and silver delivered to you at home or have real gold and silver in your IRA or 401k, the Oxford Gold Group can help. Give them a call right now, 833-404-GOLD.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the final segment here of the week. 15 hours, as we do every single week. Encourage you to download the podcast. Thank you for hanging out with us on our 400-plus AM-FM stations. Listening along live, all 50 states. We are talking about a variety of different subjects. By the way, Congressman Jim Jordan joined us in the second hour. It was really great. The Olympics are underway. A lot of you may or may not be watching them this weekend. We got mascot controversies. And by the way, we were talking about Buck getting wiped out by water polo. We did. We hired a water polo beast of a coach. His name is Dejan Udovcic, and I'm probably mispronouncing that. He is the former head coach of Serbia, and he has led us into a powerhouse status where previously in Serbia, he developed and built a dominant franchise. So just keep your head on a swivel, Buck Sexton.
You never know, man. Those water polo players, all of a sudden, you
big
know?
Shoulders. They're pretty ripped. That's a tough job.
Yeah, but you can usually, in their man bikinis, you can see him coming from a while away. You know what I mean? It's like, I see that. He's got the little cap on, his little goggles. I know who's coming for me, water polo players. Ken in Cleveland, Ohio, though, has some update for us on the Cleveland Guardians. Ken, welcome.
How you guys doing? The name has local interest. There's a bridge downtown built back around the Great Depression that linked the two sides of the city. And on the corners of those, there are these stone pillars, and they're called the Guardians of Transportation. It was supposed to honor, at that point, Cleveland was a hub of, you know, travel across the country.
So do you like the move or you don't like the move?
No, I don't. I think having to change it is stupid. But locally, it was of interest to people to make sure that the name had a link to Cleveland.
Yes.
Not just some, you know, Tigers, Bobcats or something. You know, they wanted to have it be something that was going to be linked to here. So in that, I guess they succeeded. But still, I think it was stupid they had to change the name in the first place. But
I'm a little worried, too, I got to say. I don't want to lose one of the greatest sports movies of all time now.
Oh, Major
which
League.
Which is Major League.
Oh, it's so good.
What happens? Are we going to have to, like, dub this over? And they're like, the Guardians. I mean, is that really what's going to go on here? Because that offensiveness is going to be something that I'm sure people complain about. And I'm just like, I think you argue it's top five sports movies all time.
Oh, it's an amazing movie. Major League 1 and Major League Baseball 2, both phenomenal movies. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned, like, kind of you're satirizing the absurdity of this woke culture. But do you remember when they started for computer games that people play, like with Civil War, in the wake of the shooting at Charleston, the tech companies started photoshopping out the Confederate flag from video games about the Civil War. You know, like, there are two sides, you know, they both had flags.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, the ultimate absurdity would be if you took these things to their logical conclusion, we would start canceling people for dressing up as Nazis in movies.
Yes. Right?
Oh, what? Doesn't matter. We got you. We saw you pretending to be Hitler in that celebrated film. By the way, Downfall, which is in German, if you want a good World War II movie on the reel, one of the best ones of all time.
You know what's crazy about that, Buck, when you think about the idea of sanitizing, that's what happened with the Dukes of Hazzard, right? Like, the General Lee, their car, had the Confederate flag on the top of it, and they basically, is Dukes of Hazzard back on television now? I don't even know if it's allowed to be seen.
I'm like scared to even say that I've ever seen it. Isn't that?
Oh, you know, that was my favorite show when I was a kid. Bo and Luke Duke, Daisy.
J.R. Daisy's my sister's name.
Oh, what a show.
J.R. in Columbus, Ohio. What's up, J.R.?
Mega dittos. Hey, Clay, just assume this the rest of your life. your wife and children will outvote you for the next 40 years. You're done.
Yes,
you're
totally done. You're right.
And I don't mean to segue from what I'm going to ask, but my son was varsity water polo at one of the top.
You're in trouble, Buck.
I know.
He is a beast. He is a beast.
I'll send him Buck's address. He can knock on the door.
Bless your heart. So anyway, if my father was still alive, he was Army infantry, he would be shaking his head every day we had lunch and then saying, is everyone taking crazy pills?
Yeah.
This does not make sense. And I can tell you right now, Clay and Buck, I did not raise my children that way, and they know the difference, but boy, it's a hard...
You don't like the Cleveland Indian name change, is that...
I'm sorry. God, I missed the big picture. Sorry.
No, it's all right. You're fired up. We get it.
No. So I used to live in Cleveland. I sat in the dog pound all the time, so I started calling or texting my friends up there, and they are ticked.
I think the Cleveland Indians is one of... Thank you so much for calling in, JR. Clay, I think it's one of the things that people most associate with that city, actually.
I don't think there's any doubt at all. And the Indians, obviously, They haven't won a title in Cleveland. Sorry, Indians fans, Guardians fans, whatever you want to call the professional baseball team there, in a long time. And so that's a long-suffering, well-supporting franchise. And it's just such a ridiculous decision. I mean, it doesn't end, and that's the biggest problem.
You got your homework from Clay and Buck over the weekend. Do something fun. Think about something to do with the family or with some friends or even by yourself. Get out there and do the thing you've been wanting to do this summer and haven't done yet. And maybe even send us an email or a Facebook message. Tell us about it. Tweet at Clay. Give him some barbecue recipes. He is at Clay Travis on Twitter. I am Buck Sexton on Facebook. Facebook.com/Buck Sexton. Give me a follow there. Have a great weekend, everybody. Clay, we're excited to be with them on Monday. We'll see you all then.
Can't wait. Appreciate y'all.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.